welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast in the entire universe, galaxy, world of all time, today and forever. You have your two favorite hosts. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful day for a podcast. And here we are to do one.
It's true, and we're both wearing the same exact color shirts.
All right, Gabe. It was a sick burn.
He doesn't even know it.
People will understand. Yeah. And Gabe will never hear.
He'll never hear it. Oh, goodness gracious. So we just spent the last 10 minutes or so just chatting. So hopefully was it last week's episode or two weeks ago where it was like really just kind of,
I think it was last week we were
wild.
Very bad.
All right. So we can do better this time, I think.
Yeah, we can be better for Clara.
I don't give a fuck about Clara. We do love Claire.
Yeah. She did say we stress her out every time we say Clara because she thinks that we're shitting on her. Do you have any shout outs before we start?
I do. We should. Will you? We have our two newest Patreon members that we need
to
shout out, right?
We do have two new Patreons to shout out.
So first, let me find my shouties.
We have Marie.
Yes.
And
Marie.
Nina.
Wait, we did shout out Marie last week because I said Marie as in Marie, the baguettes, hurry up.
Ah, okay, well. But Nina. I don't think so. Because this was only from 5 days ago.
We did. Was there another Marie?
Oh, no, that's okay. That was the wrong one. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
You're right. That one was a week and a half ago.
And
I'm so sorry.
Nina.
So just one.
Nina had told me, you know, shout out Nina, because back in December, she had said, I'm going to get your Patreon once things in life clear up. She's getting her social work degree. And I said, girl, we love you regardless. It is okay. We do love our Patreon patrons just
a
little bit more.
We appreciate them a lot. We also understand if it cannot be in the budget currently.
Yeah. So she got into the Patreon. She got into the Discord. Very exciting. Do you just want to also shout out our friend Kathleen? She's been super busy with classes and finishing out the semester strong. So shout out there. Want to make sure also to shout out Leah. I missed responding to her message on Instagram. So Leah, with the bumblebee, shout out to you. And Allison, she had texted me or messaged me saying that her sister, who was 27, had shingles. So it's not just an old person thing. So
yes,
we
there was some
shingles
conversation on the on the Discord as well.
Yeah. Also, shout out to Hannah. New follower that I had a chance to connect with in the UK out in Essex. And
hey, we didn't go there.
No, we didn't. But next time we will.
Yes.
She's a nurse and she was doing her training back when Grey's was live back in the early 2000s coming out. Well,
Grey's,
I shouldn't say back when it was live. It's
still
live. Yes. Thank you. But when she said she's watching it on Disney Plus, it's the giveaway in the UK. Yeah.
It's like everywhere except here. I think it's on Disney Plus.
Yeah. So she's halfway through season three. So Hannah, when you get to this, that will be a wonderful, wonderful shout out. And then last, also want to shout out Orla, who followed. And she is also, we're getting into her favorite season. Season six is her favorite. So, but apparently I haven't met her favorite character yet. So she said no spoilies, but she's not going to tell me anything. But she has a favorite character who we haven't met yet. And I told her once we do, let me know. And I think there's one. Nope, that's it. That's all I got.
I have to shout out Becca, who told me that I have Kylie Kelsey energy, which is a huge compliment. So thank you, Becca.
I respect
you
that.
Don't know who Kylie Kelsey is. She is married to Jason Kelsey.
I know who that is.
I know. I meant the general you, not you, Carmen.
Like, no,
I
know
the listeners. Okay.
I know, but I'm also personal friends with the Kelseys.
Well, you're not, but it is my goal to be introduced to them at some point. They're just, it's too much. Like, listen, I'm going to do this again. K-E-L-C-E-Y is how I spell my name. They are K-E-L-C-E. Okay. That number one. Number two, when's my birthday? August 7th, 87. What's Travis's number? 87. What's my son's name? Bennett. What is Kylie's middle child's or youngest child's name? Bennett. All right. Their first child is Elliot. Their child is Scarlett. They're doing the same thing with the two T's.
And her I'm middle name, Kylie and Jason's middle name are both Carmen. So I hate it when it's
you
all
just talk. Just some things don't have to be about you. Some things can be about me.
Sorry, I meant to say both their middle names are Samantha.
Amazing.
You know what? That was a huge reaction for. I don't think that was a proportionate reaction to how you just yelled at me.
I am sorry that that is how you feel.
I'm sorry that you feel like you deserve an apology.
I'm sorry that you feel like you deserve an apology, said Derek Shepherd.
Yeah. Listen, I have lots of thoughts on this episode, and all of them are pro-Derek. I want to put, spoiler alert, every thought that I have in this episode is pro-Derek. I want you to know. Also, I do have one last shout-out. Yorkie also had added
so
me.
Upset.
And she's a huge, huge Grays fan. She stays up until 2 or 3 in the morning just to listen to our podcast. She waits until it goes
That's
live
amazing.
Where she's at.
Where is she?
And I don't see it here. She didn't respond to the last part. But also, she still to this day cannot believe that I got Izzy's cancer tumor right off the bat. And also,
it was not right off the bat, but
it was
instantaneously before it happened.
But she also is a big fan of us splitting everything up into two episodes because there's just literally so much to talk about. So
yes, it's so true.
And the common theme here is everyone loves our banter. So I'm going to bring it back to the original point of Clara, fuck off. If you are still listening, I am actually kind of sorry. If you gave us all a shot and you're like, actually, these guys are fine.
Yeah. Because I was telling Michael, I was like, yeah, she said she wants to like it.
And here we are just shitting on her all the time. Clara, actually, I do feel bad. I'm going to take it back a little bit, but maybe give us a 5-star review.
I'm
going to
keep doing
time.
It because, like, for the bit, but I am sorry if it hurts your feelings.
I'm sorry if you feel like you need us to not yell at you. That's what I think.
My lips are so chapped. I'm going to be applying chapstick, like, probably every 8 to 12 minutes. Like, it's so bad right now. I don't know why.
I'll have to get some chapstick for next episode. So if it's
recorded.
Did you
watch the video that I think.
Yeah,
I think
that's the weirdest thing
that
I've ever. That
so
is
so funny.
That's so it's got to get into the crevices.
One of our Patreons posted a video of some weird man on TikTok putting on chapstick. Weird. And she goes, is this how Carmen puts on chapstick? And I said, no, I would make like such a big deal because that man was like fully like duck lipping. But like,
yeah, it's like how Kim Kardashian drinks with a straw. It was like,
it doesn't make any sense because he's like, you have to get it into the crevices and then makes a bunch of crevices. Like I make my lips really flat so that they can be like, I'm not missing anything. This is not.
It's not a great representation.
Grey's Anatomy. Okay. This is episode 13 of the 6th season. It is episode 115 overall, and it is called State of Love and Trust, and that is a song.
State of Love and Trust is a song. It is by Pearl Jam. Throwback! I want you guys to know, this is an unpopular opinion. I don't like Pearl Jam. I also think they're overrated. So... It's
because you weren't stoned in the 90s, okay? That's clearly why. That's like their target audience.
What's the other one? The other grunge rock? The guy from Foo Fighters, David Grohl was the drummer. Kurt Cobain. Nirvana. I was also not a fan of Nirvana. You were zero help on that. You didn't help me get to the end of this at all.
I wasn't trying to help you. That's probably the reason. I mean, I wasn't going to. I was like, When you say what's the other one, like there's only one other 90s grunge band. That's all that
I feel like
they're kind of the big ones.
No, the 90s gave us the tail end of Blink 182 or the beginnings of Blink 182 and Green Day. And I will never be able to thank the 90s
gave
enough
us
for that.
R.E.M. and Fish with a PH. And also the
and
Dixie
Bare
Chicks.
Naked Ladies.
Now known as the Chicks.
The Dixie Chicks. Why are they not
the
Dixie?
But now they are the Chicks.
Why not? Why
the term Dixie is deeply, deeply historically racist. So they just
really?
Were like, we'll just drop that.
What? I don't think I know anything about that.
Well, that's probably because you're not really from somewhere where the term is used prevalently. No. But that's fine. Every place has their own history.
In between episodes, we're gonna have to do some research. You're gonna have to educate me. So, anyways, State of Love and Trust. It's Pearl Jam. It's lyrics Eddie Vedder and the music written
by
Mike McCready.
I'm so sorry to take us back off topic, but let me say, it took us less than a minute and a half to get from Pearl Jam to racism. Not directly either. Anyways, continue.
Well, that's the majesty of podcasts is tangents. So
go ahead.
Anyways, so blah, 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 blah. State of Love and Trust. It is it was from the soundtrack for the film Singles from 1992. So and then it was included on their 2004 Greatest Hits album, which I don't think it's one of their greatest hits. It's just kind of OK. So this song did not chart, but it is. Again, it was on their greatest hits album. It's a no. In the immortal words of Randy Jackson, that's a no for me, dog. It's just okay. It's a fine song. Like it's just I'm gonna give it a two. I'm gonna give it a 2 out of 5. It is a it's an intern. It's an intern. It's just fine. I didn't like it.
Okay, that's your business.
But I also But again, that is on me not being a Pearl Jam fan.
Yes.
Are you a Pearl Jam fan? Why are you getting so offended?
No, I'm not offended. It, the way you are saying Pearl Jam, I don't know why. Every time you say it, I think you're saying parole.
Pearl Jam.
Like, Pearl Jam. Yeah, I don't know. Like, after you say it, after you finish it the whole way, I'm like, no, you said Pearl Jam. But, like, while it's happening, I'm like, why are you saying parole?
Yeah, no, I'm not saying parole. I'm saying Pearl Jam. And none of the members of Pearl Jam are currently on parole as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, but...
So...
But do you know that for a fact? Or are
nope.
you just unaware?
Unaware. Just unaware.
Okay, this episode... Are you finished?
Oh.
I thought you were. You rated it. Yeah, don't say that to me, please.
I'm not going
to...
Yeah, no.
Don't say it. Nope. This episode was written by Stacey McKee and directed by Genois Schwab.
Genois Schwab.
This is not the first episode that he has directed, which mine is mind blowing because I have no recollection of trying to say this man's name before.
Jebba Flip Flu.
When I was looking him up to see if I could find anything to tell me how to pronounce it, which I could not, I found out that he also directed Jaws 2. So, fun fact about Genois.
Jaws. T-W-O or Jaws T-O-O?
T-W-O, the number okay. two.
So Jaws no. 2,
yeah, if
not
you'll
Jaws
recall,
2.
Jaws had a pretty famous director.
Yeah, Steven Spielberg.
Okay, so you do recall.
I didn't know if he was co-captain or something. Like a co-pilot for Jaws 2.
Co-captain of director.
You know, like, see, he was a co-captain for Jaws 2. Or he directed Jaws 2.
Okay. It aired February 4th, 2010, to 12.55 million views. And the Netflix synopsis is, as Derek begins his role as interim chief, he faces a potential lawsuit when Bailey and Meredith's patient awakens from anesthesia mid-surgery.
Greatest fear in the world,
yeah.
Right there. Yeah,
yeah, I have had that concern before, but I feel like it's because of this episode.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of concern, I am concerned that it took me until yesterday to realize that we're in a fucking leap year. Did you know that?
Yeah, every election year is a leap year.
Because it's every 4 years.
Yeah.
Got it. Put this one in the dumb, not stupid category for me, please. I never made that connection. I am today years old when I made that connection, genuinely.
Well, I'm happy to help.
You did help. Thank you.
All right, so let's talk about the episode.
15 minutes, 20 seconds. Hit that like, subscribe, follow, 5-star review button, and go to www.patreon.com/Grey's Academy Pod to get the hot, stanky content.
Wish you would just not say it one time.
You don't want me to say anything?
I just don't want you to say stanky anymore.
Hot, stinky?
Why do you have to put negative connotation on the hard and beautiful work we produce?
Okay. That hot fire.
Thank you.
Stanky.
No.
Hot fire content. It is hot fire, beautiful, podcast awesome divorce. Content. Okay.
Okay. This episode.
Where do you want to start?
Was great. Derek was rude.
Derek was the dopest. Derek had a great episode.
You said that you... First of all, first things first, did you notice anything different about Derek's hair this episode?
A little bit shorter than usual.
Shorter, right? Because it's normally like this.
It's got some volume to it, yeah.
A coif situation. And this one, it was just like more just up.
Yeah, I think they were trying to make it seem like he...
I mean, he got a haircut, for sure.
He got a haircut for the chief job.
You think so?
I think that's what they're trying to make us believe, is that he... To feel more chiefly, needed to get a haircut. I don't believe that haircuts are always chiefly, but I mean, from one man with great hair to another, you know, I was fine with it. I think he still looks good with it either way.
Okay. Well, we can start. Yeah. We'll just start with the coup, as it were.
Coup, coup, ka-choo.
So Derek, Meredith is like still mad, but she's also like, you're going to do so good. I don't know if I fully understand why she's mad still at this point. He did fully say, I won't do it unless you're okay with it. And eventually she said, do it.
So with ulterior motives.
Yeah, that's fine. But yeah. She still gave the green light. So yep. It's a little confusing to me. You know, I hate to be on Derek's side about anything, but it is a little confusing. So I don't know about that one, Meredith, but, he's getting ready and she's like, wear the blue tie. 'Cause you have nice eyeballs,
which is true. The blue brings out the eyes ball.
And so he wears a tie and then everyone mocks him for some reason, which I will say, I think the choice to button the lab coat
was a bit much.
It doesn't look great, I think, for anybody to button the lab coat, especially like over regular clothing
and a tie over regular clothing and a tie.
Yeah.
You gotta just let it be open.
Yeah. So he starts the day with a speech in front of everybody, right? That's where he starts.
Yep.
I mean, after he's with Meredith. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It starts, also with him just like moving everything he's ever owned into Richard's office. Like he's going to live there now.
Well, Weber did. So now he needs to.
Apparently.
It's tradition.
So everyone gathers. He's like, I'm going to give a speech. So everyone come to these stairs because we don't have conference rooms at this hospital. Come to the lobby where any person waiting for a loved one can see that A, they're not receiving any care, and B, can overhear everything that's being said.
And any trauma can just walk in and crash the party at any point.
Yep. So they're listening. Derek says he's the interim chief. And then he pulls a MAGA and he's like, I want to make this hospital great again. I didn't love it.
I like it. I'm all about the former glory, you know? Back before women had the right to vote. Let's bring it back. Let's bring Olivia back. That's what we need to. Former glory.
Essentially, Derek.
Okay, also, pause. Women deserve the right to. Okay. Women deserve all people he's the right to vote. So. I do think. I think
draw
I'm great. Also,
all the conclusions you will draw with that.
Oh, I see what you're. I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to say that because I think Derek is great, I think Trump is great.
I'm just making statements that you have also made.
I'm sorry to get political here for a second. I hate Trump so much. I don't even use the word Trump in my common day, everyday vernacular now. If I want to say something is better than something, I say it supersedes. I do not use the T word in my regular vernacular.
I don't feel like I ever was really saying like, oh, such and such Trump, such and such. But what you're saying is your own business, but it also feels like going a little far.
Well, it also adds
a word.
A $10 word to my vocabulary.
So. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm all about a nice subversive vocabulary.
Yes. Yes.
So Derek's hair is weird. Richard walks in while he's having his speech and it gets real awkward real fast.
Oh yeah. That was uncomfortable. And what's the other guy's name? I always forget his
Jennings.
Name. Dickhead Jennings. Dickhead Jennings.
Well, penis fish Jennings.
Good old penis fish Jennings.
If you'll recall.
Wait, I don't recall.
Okay. This is the second time I've brought this up and the second time that you didn't remember. When he comes in, he had been vacationing and he peed in the Amazon
penis
River.
Penis fish. He had a fish in his penis. A hook fish in his penis. It's penis fish.
Penis
What's his
fish.
Last name? Penis. I'm going to get a bag of penis fish.
Penis fish Jennings.
Jennings. His name is okay. Jennings.
So Derek and Jennings go, they're in the conference room with Richard and they present him with two options. They're like, you can sign this and be like early retirement and also no more medical license.
With his pension, with benefits, with all.
Yeah, everything is fine. You just will never be allowed to practice medicine again. And then the other one is admit that you're an alcoholic, go to rehab, come back and have this job. And it feels
like a no-brainer
choice.
Yeah.
And Richard is like, I'll think about it, which I do kind of understand. Obviously, later on, he explains it to Bailey. But in that moment, it just kind of feels like I'm just going to be petty because I know you. I don't want you to tell me what to do.
Sounds like my daughter.
Who else does it sound like?
Jessica.
Sounds like Carmen. Carmen Gabriel Mugnolo.
I don't even know who that is.
And so he says he needs to think. A nurse comes in and is like, hey, chief. And they both say yes. And it's awkward again. Because she's actually asking for Derek. So he goes to address the Bailey patient situation.
Yes.
The woman who woke up during surgery. And Bailey is mad. And he's like, don't worry, she probably won't remember. Which is also terrifying. Also, when you're like in surgery, they don't fully like numb you. They just put you under. And they're like, you like won't feel it because you're asleep.
Yeah, that's now I want to make sure that if I ever do need surgery like this, I need them to do a test to make sure I don't metabolize anesthesia too quick.
Yeah. Have you had any kind of, have you had to work your wisdom teeth out?
Yeah.
Then I feel like you were under for that, right?
Yeah, I was under for that, but that's a quick procedure. I would imagine this procedure they were doing was a multiple hour procedure.
Well, probably. But I still feel like they give it to you for the appropriate amount of time. Cause like you wake up not that long after they're done with your wisdom tooth surgery. Although that might just be like a running gas. I don't remember.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I just know when I woke up from wisdom tooth surgery, I feel so bad for the woman. I just kept telling her I was so thirsty. And she was like, I cannot give you a drink. I'm so sorry. And I was like, I'm so thirsty. I'm going to die. When we checked in that morning before the surgery, they were like, how are you? And I was like, I'm really thirsty because you won't let me drink anything.
That would be the hardest thing for me. That's why whenever they have procedures where like you can't eat past the you know, 6 yeah. p.m. the day before. I'm like, well, fuck you.
Yeah.
At 5:59, I'm going to slam a Crave case.
Mm-hmm. No, seriously. I always would like if I have to do fasting or anything, I'd be like first appointment so I can immediately go eat when I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so, I was so too that I couldn't drink anything either. I was so thirsty. And then I was complaining about it to the lady so much that she took the gauze out of my mouth and got it wet and put the gauze back in my mouth. I was like, God bless this woman.
She said, gauze, an damn angel. It. Shut the fuck up.
She's an angel.
So anyways, Derek in
the... Wait, I have a question.
Okay.
Did you do anything funny when you woke up from wisdom tooth surgery?
Yes, I did.
What did you do?
I felt my lips and I said, these lips are dry as fuck. So I put chapstick on my lips, except it wasn't my lips. It was my chin.
That would also be funny. Because I you still held the chapstick weird.
I held it like a normal person the way that I do because I'm a normal person who applies chapstick normally. And I was putting it on my, I was like, oh yeah, this is real good. Oh yeah, fucking love my moist lips. And my mom is sitting there laughing at me and she goes, it's on your chin. You didn't even touch your lips. And I touched my lips and I'm like, oh yeah, those are dry.
Still dry. This problem has not been solved.
My chin was moist as a baby's butt. So
pre-beard.
Pre-beard.
Okay.
Yep, pre-beard.
Derek goes in and is like, quick update about your surgery. It went super good. And she was like, oh, really? Was it good when I fucking woke up and no one knew?
And like, Bailey was yelling and I heard my own burning flesh.
That's not so good.
Yeah, that's... And you gotta imagine, like, the husband, either that was his first time hearing this and he was like... What was her name? Leslie. If it was me and I woke up to and like Jess woke up and the first time seeing the doctor, Jessica's like, I was awake. I'd be like, what the? Whoa. This is a lot to take in and digest.
I already told him.
Well, because here's the other thing. If Jessica told me that before they walked in, they would have walked in and I would have said, oh, you're coming with a check for a $1 billion because my wife woke up during the surgery. Let's go. I would hold no cards to the chest. I would say, you're a fucking lying sack of shit. Whatever you're about to say, you're a liar. I already know.
My thing is, I'm like, listen, I'm sure you're great people. I did wake up during surgery and I would like to be monetarily compensated. I won't sue you if you just write a check. We can do all the legal stuff elsewhere.
Yeah.
But this is... why anesthesiologists are like the highest paid people in a hospital. But it's also because their medical, what's the word?
Specialty?
Medical malpractice insurance is wildly high because the payouts from issues from anesthesiology are wildly high, to my understanding.
Here's the thing. What is the monetary value that you would feel is fair if you woke up in the middle of surgery and there's a woman digging in your gut, your bowels?
I don't know. I feel like I already have anxiety. So clearly, also, side note, and we'll get more into this when we get to this actual storyline.
Yeah.
I was like, this is when they fucking need to get psyched down here. This woman has been through a trauma like 7 Absolutely. Minutes ago and no one is Absolutely. Addressing it.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I already have like pretty bad anxiety. I do feel like that would make it worse. I feel like I would start high. I would start at like 10 million.
I was going to say 10 million. Yep.
And then like just see what they counter with and just probably be like, okay. Because it's as long as it's still like 7 figures, I'd be like, all right.
Yeah.
More than I'd probably ever make on my own. So
I think what we need is first off, someone just to give us that amount of money. Like someone Please. Just needs to give us $1 million.
If anyone knows where we can get $1 million, just let me know.
We'll Yeah. So, but that's the first thing. I don't know. Because you have to think that if you have surgery once in your life, odds are you'll have to have another surgery. I think the data shows that once you have surgery the first time, you're more than likely going to have surgery an additional time. So it's like you're once a surgery happens,
any surgery or like follow up to specific surgeries,
any surgery, once you have a surgery, the odds of you having another surgery in your life are much higher.
Okay.
You're going to I mean, you could Google it if you want.
No, Michael was just texting me a question. Sorry.
Oh, so I don't know, because I would have that. I don't know if I could ever have a surgery again. I don't know if I could ever be sitting there like, yeah, I'm cool with this. Like, I'd be like, can you just, I need anesthesia, well, please.
For sure, after they figure out why, I feel like that would be a relief because then at least they can go in like with a plan the next time. You know, it's like when,
which is what they do.
Whenever you like go to a doctor, they're like, oh, are you allergic to any medication? Like, right. They know like once, and I'm sure, you know, if you have a reaction to a medication, it's probably scary, but then moving forward, you always tell them. And so then they can give you something else. So it's similar to that. We're like, okay, yes, there is the scary thing, but we do have a plan like around it or whatever. So
yeah. Anyways. Okay.
Yeah, it was, so Derek goes to talk to her and she's upset. Her husband is supportive upset, I guess. It's really letting her take the reins.
What she's saying kind of gets you.
Yeah, they're all just kind of like,
yeah,
can't wait to talk to your lawyer. Yeah. So then Derek goes back to Weber and he's all pissy. He's very mad. He tells everyone to leave because everyone's just standing outside of the conference room, like gossiping and being like, what was it? Drugs? Was it? What was it? Who did it? And then so Derek tells them all to leave and then he goes in and then they have a large fighting, yelling match.
Do you have the dialogue for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was hoping you would. While you're pulling that up, I want to also acknowledge we all need an Arizona Robbins in our life because when they're getting together for his speech, she's like, hey, just so you guys know, like I already promised him that we'll clap, so just fucking clap. Yeah,
Christina,
okay?
Goes now.
So, also, Christina with the one liner, she said that the Undertaker needs a speech writer. Mm-hmm. She called him the Undertaker. So, but she needs to calm down. This was an intense Christina episode too. But yeah, everyone needs an Arizona, and I'm okay with that. But before Kelsey gives us the dialogue from this, we're gonna take a quick moment from our regional sponsors. And if you're on YouTube, you're gonna see me taking a drink of water. We'll be back after these messages.
One of the best things about finishing a great book is knowing that you have another one ready to go in your to-be-read pile. With Book of the Month, you can make sure that your to-be-read pile stays stocked and ready to go. Each month, you can use the app to select from 5 to 7 titles vetted and curated by the team at Book of the Month, focusing specifically on debut authors and early releases. If you can't choose just one, you can always upgrade and add more from your selection. And if that TBR pile starts to get a little too tall, you can skip as many months as you need to give yourself a little extra time to catch up on what you have. Personally, I am a huge fan of suspense and psychological thrillers, so I was very excited to see multiple books on the selection list for May that fit that description. I selected 2 different titles, both of which are set in Washington State, just like our favorite show, Grey's Anatomy. I thoroughly enjoyed The Return of Ellie Black, the first thriller novel from Amiko Jean, and have Middle Tide by Sarah Crouch ready to read on my road trip next week. Right now, you can sign up for Book of the Month and use code PETALS to get your first book for only $5. That's code PETALS, PETALS, to get your first book for only $5. Watch out for that blue box at your door and get your TBR pile stocked and ready.
And we are back. Kelsey, here give us are. That dialogue.
Derek enters the room. Richard, this sitting here, this isn't good. It's not helping things. Just sign the papers. Go to rehab, sign the paper. Richard, who the hell do you think you are? Who do you, look, you're not my boss and you are not my chief. You may have stolen my office out from under me. Derek, you're in trouble. Richard, but you have no right. Derek, and I am trying to help you like you helped me. Richard, I helped you. I didn't get you fired. Derek, you got yourself fired the minute you took your first drink. Richard, get out of my face. No, no, you're not going to do this. You're not ending your career to get back at me. I did what I had to do and nothing more. Richard, you look me in the eye and you say that again. And Derek says, I wanted the job. I wanted the job. I admit that. I didn't want to end your career. Well, that part's not up to you, is it? You did what you had to do, but this part is up to me. So get out. No. Then Meredith comes in and says, stop it. People are watching. And Derek leaves and says, get back to work.
Anytime someone says, get out of my face, all I can think of is, I'll get inside your face.
I don't.
That's from Blades of Glory.
Yeah.
When the guy from Napoleon Dynamite says, get out of my face. And then Will Ferrell goes, I'll get inside your face. Classic. I think of that every time. What?
Top-notch cinema.
Do you feel like if this was happening with one of your previous employers that people would just literally stop what they're doing and be like, I'm just going to stand here until they storm out of the room and tell me to leave. I can't imagine being in a situation like that where I would be sitting there actively popcorn eating out the window.
Listen, I'm a gossip. I love the tea.
Totally.
I love to watch the drama. If this is happening, I'm going to like pretend to go through charts. I'm going to be like, oh, look right at all these papers I need to sort. But I'm going to make sure those papers need to be sorted right outside that door.
Yeah.
I will actively
or in the room or in the room,
whatever I am holding for an excuse to bend down and clean it up and spend more time listening.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Sorry, guys. I really need that pen right over there inside.
That specific pen that Richard is going to use to sign one of these forms.
That's actually, I didn't want to say anything, but that's actually my favorite pen. I bought it from home. It was a gift from my
patient. Gifted it to me right before she died. So
my first patient, Katie Bryce, gave it to me.
Now you'll never forget.
Now I'll never forget. So that was intense. I wish that we would have gotten more from Derek in that moment of, yeah, I wanted the job, but not like this.
But he didn't actually care how he got it, so
but I think
that
he
would
does
be a lie.
I think it's eating away at him. He doesn't like it.
Yeah, now that he got it that way, that might be true, but I think
that was
leading
the only
up
way,
to it,
yeah,
he did know not care.
So, I don't know. It's a bummer. It's a bummer.
It's a bummer because of their background. And also it's a bummer when someone, especially who has successfully traversed recovery previously, falls off the wagon. And it's sad that it's such a public ordeal for him.
Yeah. Although it seems like there's still a lot of question. No one really knows what the issue is because I don't think people knew. It wasn't widespread that he was an alcoholic.
Right.
So... Anything else with that particular scene that you want to talk about?
Well, I like when Richard says, look me in the eye and say that again. I like the choice to have basically no time. Like, there's minimal pausing. Derek is just like, fine, I fucking wanted the job. He doesn't, like, ponder. He's like, should I tell the truth or should I continue the charade? He fully is just like, yes, I wanted your job. Okay, I believe him. He didn't want to end Richard's career. He just wanted the job. However, that's not how it played out. And you still have to own up to the fact that you played a very large part in that.
It's true.
And that is where his struggle lies.
Yeah.
Also, he is like, I am sure there is also conflict in that he is admittedly calling himself the interim chief and telling Richard to sign the papers that... would have Richard come back and continue being chief and would see Derek then ousted from the position. So I'm sure there's some kind of complexities there for him as well. So.
Yeah. It's a sad situation. I'm trying to think of like I was stealing a job from a mentor, but I don't really have anyone in my life that I kind of look at like that. So it's tough. But they have a very intimate relationship. It's very intense. It's mm-hmm. you know, he was grooming him for this, if you think back to, you know, season one, mm-hmm. which that part I remember. But anyways, so we do get this scene later on where this is probably my favorite scene in the episode, where Derek and Owen and Mark are all in the same room. And they walk in and Derek tells Mark, oh, yeah, Hunt got me. Mark's like, what the fuck is this? And he's like, well, yeah, Hunt got me this. Congratulations on being mm-hmm. chief present. And Mark, gosh, this is so funny. This is like typical best friend shit. Oh, I was gonna get you that. Oh, no.
I was gonna get you the better one.
The better one.
The keep score.
Yeah. And then he sits in the chair. And this is... the dam breaks a little bit with mm-hmm. Owen and Christina, because Owen gets told about Christina and Burke being engaged.
Do you remember like 3 weeks ago when I was like, Carmen, how much do you think Owen knows about Christina and Burke? This
and that
is
was
why
when
I was
said,
asking that question.
It made sense as it happened in the scene. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is why Kelsey asked me. But did I say it's going to be an ordeal? Like he's going to find out and it's not going to be from her. I think I predicted that.
Oh, I thought you said that. Did you I say she was going to tell already him? Knows. You
were did like, I?
She probably already told him.
Maybe. I guess I didn't realize. I don't know. So whatever. I feel like I'm right though.
You might be. I would have to go back and find it. There were a couple moments in this episode where the music choice was, in my opinion, horrendous and distracting to the point where I was like, someone outside of my house is making noise and it's just noise that's bothering me. So I rewound the television and it was, in fact, the music behind this scene. This is one of those scenes. And the song was called In Knowing, and it is by Swimming in Speakers, which is a weird thing to name a band, but
you know what
anyways,
else is a weird name
I just
for
had
a band?
Gallery 81. So I just had a Pearl Jam.
I was gonna say the Alan Parsons Project.
That is a weird name for a jam and a band.
For a jam and a jam band.
I was going to say jam band. Okay, so that was one of the moments where I was like, this music is weird and it's distracting me. So I just had to note that. But yes, I love this scene. Mark is being a gossip. I do appreciate, I will say, shout out to Derek when he says, it's not my story to tell. So I do agree with that, especially when it comes to something like addiction. You can say, like, you know, so-and-so was going through something and this is how I reacted. But I think it's oftentimes easy to tell a story and leave details like that out. If it's not your story to tell, especially, I mean, it depends on the audience. Like if you're like dishing family secrets to like people who would care to know, then like maybe let the other person say. But if you're like, it's like a stranger on a plane, tell them all your secrets. Who cares?
Yeah, nobody cares.
You're never going to see him again. So, yeah, I was like, there were when I was
actually, hold on. Let me tell you a story.
Go ahead.
One time I saw the same person on a plane going and coming from
Chattanooga.
Yeah. The guy with the hat.
Because it was the guy you wanted to be friends with.
Yeah. What was his name? I don't know. He was dope, though. We could have been best friends. I think him and I could have started a Grey's Anatomy podcast someday.
Well, you already have one of those, so.
Can you, what if we do this again? What if when we get through this, what if we simultaneously start another Grey's Anatomy podcast?
What would be the premise?
Where you've never seen Grey's Anatomy.
But I've seen it.
And I've also never seen Grey's Anatomy. And we're acting.
It would be pretty easy to find a show neither of us have seen.
It's true. Have you ever watched Breaking Bad?
Yes.
Mad Men?
No.
Okay, I've never watched Mad
pretty
Men.
Pretty easy, only two guesses.
That would be great. Okay, this is like, okay, hold on. All right. What was that? What's that celebrity game where you have to like, you say the movie and you have to like, you say we 1, 2, 3, two movies and you name an actor and you try to see how close you can get.
6 degrees of separation.
Yeah. Yeah. We should do that sometime on the podcast live right now. Or we could talk about Grace before we get another 1-star review from Clara.
Clara's going to delete the 3-star one just to edit to be a 1-star. Clara, we love you. Thanks for providing us material
with,
for the bit.
With the content, yeah.
Okay, so I was going to say, for both pregnancies, when we went to the airport to go on our European honeymoon, we told the people at TSA that I was pregnant because we weren't sure if I had to like go through the same metal detector or something. And she was like, no, everyone goes through this one. I was like, cool. And then the woman behind me was like, oh my God, my daughter's also pregnant and she's only 6 weeks. And I was like, oh my God, I'm only like 4 weeks. And then when I was flying home from Chicago, when I was pregnant with Bennett, I had asked the woman in my row if she, because I had a window seat, and I was like, can you switch seats with me because I'm having horrendous morning sickness and I would love the ability to get to the bathroom should I need to vomit. And because it was a very small plane, everyone heard, and I was like, well, everyone on this plane knows that I'm pregnant and only like my parents and Michael's parents know, and like you guys do. But
that's funny.
Yeah, I was like, well, no one knows, because we were telling them all in person at Scarlett's birthday party, so that entire plane of strangers knew.
I remember we were when we had booked that trip originally for you to come up, it was like, this is going to be the sushi parade trip. Yep. And then you got there and you're like, I can't do sushis.
Well, we had discussed me not doing it before I got there because we found out I was pregnant before I was there. But yeah. Yes,
you guys aren't actively trying right now, are you? Right? Like, you're not going to show up in March being pregnant?
No.
Okay.
No. If I show up in March being pregnant, I'm going to be surprised. And it's going to throw off some other things I've got going on this year, like my sister's wedding.
That's right. Which you and I are going to be maid and man of honor for.
No. She has no bridal party.
Oh, is that what she told you?
She has no bridal party. And unless you have given her a check for $15,000, you're not invited to her wedding.
Yeah, it's true.
Because that is what she quoted you for an invitation.
That's the buy-in.
Yes. Okay. What were we talking about?
Grey's Anatomy.
Right. They're talking. Derek won't tell them about the chief. And then I don't know how the subject of, how did the subject of Bert come up? First of all, the whole thing where he's like, you were sleeping with my ex-wife. And Owen was like, you did what now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and then they see his kicky. You just
pull up the dialogue. Pull up the dialogue for that scene. Kelsey, can you pull up the dialogue for the scene real quick,
please? I'm looking at it. What do you want?
The whole scene.
I'm not reading the whole scene.
I want to know how they got into the Christina conversation. And also when Owen was like, it's not a hickey, it's a birthmark. It's just a birthmark.
Yeah, that was dumb. Is that a hickey? It's a birthmark. It is. It's a hickey. Yeah. All right. Christina and I have been getting along. Well, you two are good together. Not like me or Lexi. And Derek says way better than Yang and Burke. And Mark says,
that's what it was.
Yeah. Derek says, I never understood those two. They were too monosyllabic. And then Mark says, I made a bet she'd never make it down that aisle, and I won $50. And then Owen says, what aisle? And Mark said, oh, you haven't heard that story. That's a good story. And Derek says, it's not your story to tell.
Yeah. Derek's like the old wise man in the corner. He goes, it's not my story to tell.
Derek's the gossip police, and Mark's just having a good time. Okay.
Mark is both hilarious and the worst in this episode.
Mark, yeah, not a great look for Mark, but also funny.
Yeah.
But yes, I agree. He's a goober, but yes, he's not the best Mark episode we've had.
Yeah.
So then we have another Derek and Bailey moment, which we do love a Derek and Bailey moment.
It's true.
And she's like, surgery went well. Like, Meredith did a great job. Lawyer's still here. And Bailey's like, 9 times out of 10, you can make a lawsuit go away if you apologize. To which Derek says, what is an apology? How does one perform one of those?
Okay. Derek three apologies in this episode. You know how many apologies
times does he say I'm sorry?
How many apologies?
One.
Okay, the other one was way... Okay, hold on. I'm going to have to agree with Johnny Isha on this one. This was a little bit of a throwback conversation we had. He does say the words, I am sorry.
To Richard. Yes.
Okay. Bailey says, I'm sorry, zero times in this episode, for the record.
Oh, don't worry. I wrote that down. We'll have that conversation when we get to that.
Okay. But the words that Derek uses as his monologue at the end over the episode when he's addressing the residents is a damn good apology.
I think if you say, I've come to you today to apologize, and then you don't say the words, I'm sorry, I think you're doing a bad job. He just stands there. He's making a good, I believe he's being sincere. When he is speaking to the residents, I believe that he does have trust in them and that he does want them to trust him. But I also believe he doesn't want to say, I'm sorry. He literally says, I want to come in here and apologize to you all. And then is like, I suck. Which is also true. But like, why can't you say, I'm sorry? Even if you say, I apologize, I'll give you a little credit.
I think in this moment,
he says, I come to you, I want to apologize to you, but I won't, but I want to.
I don't know. I think on this one in particular, because there have been times where he has said, I want to apologize, and then he doesn't explain it. The amount of understanding and explanation here, what's this say? What a thing to say to Derek Shepherd.
You see how I put apologize in the little stars there?
Yes.
Bailey tells Derek that he needs to apologize. What a thing to say to Derek Shepherd.
Yes. There was a time earlier, and I remember this. I don't remember the context, but I remember the situation where Derek says, I want to apologize. And I pointed out he never actually says, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm on your side for that. But that was the end of the conversation, if I remember correctly. This says, I want to apologize. And he lists a very clear and cohesive way of all of the ways that he was in the wrong. I think that to me feels like that is an apology, even in the moment where he's not saying, I'm sorry. To Richard, it was more concise and it made more sense to just say, I'm sorry. Both were effective, different in each thing. Uh-huh. But
I will say, we don't know. We're not shown or told what he says to Leslie. 50-50 might have actually said, I'm sorry, potentially more than once if he knows what's good for him.
Baseball rules, tie goes to the runner. So he did say, I'm sorry.
Why are you the runner?
No. Derek is the runner. Tie goes to the runner.
Okay.
If the ball gets to the base on a force the same time that the runner gets there, the tie goes to the runner.
Okay.
Anyways, he brings back, what's her name? April? In his speech, he's like, I'm going to undo the wrongs.
That's the last note I have. Derek physically says, I'm sorry, and it is a literal miracle.
Yeah.
But he does bring back Megan and April, yes.
Is Megan the one who's pregnant?
Yes.
Okay. When I saw the red hair, I got so excited. I was like, finally they bring back Olivia. And I was like squinting and I was like, that's not Olivia. Who the fuck is that? But now that you're saying,
it's intern Megan.
Intern Megan. And she was intern baby raising with Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, I'm so fucking good at the show.
Doesn't remember Katie Bryce.
What's the name of the guy who walked in with Richard at the beginning of the episode?
What's the name of the guy who runs the hospital? Sorry, go ahead. Jennings?
Yeah.
Penis fish.
Fiendish
piss.
So
yeah, that's mostly what's going on with Derek and Weber in this episode. Well, at the end of the episode, Weber brings the rehab one, obviously. Was there a moment where you thought maybe he'll just quit?
No.
Yeah.
There's no way. His story is just starting to begin.
To begun.
His story is
just beginning.
It's just to begun. I'm glad that he finally does it.
Mm-hmm.
It took Meredith also having to go in and be like, stop being a bitch. If my mom were here, she'd be like, you're a bitch. Like,
well,
what?
She delivered it a little bit better than that, but yes, I think that verbatim was what brought it up.
And then even that scene with, I guess we should probably just talk about that scene with Bailey and him too, when he's like, I don't want to admit scene. I'm an alcoholic, and she's like, well, are you? And he's like, well, yeah. Okay,
but
you just
if I
the
sign
work.
These papers, I have to stop drinking. And I don't think I'm ready to stop drinking. It feels a little bit like all I have left. And she says, you are better than this. I have seen you be better. The way to beat them is to stop fighting them. You go get better. You be the man I've always known you to be. Be the chief.
Be the chief.
I love Bailey.
Yeah, this was an interesting episode for Bailey. Although I'm excited to talk about the next episode when we talk about the patient situation, because I have thoughts on this anesthesiologist. And spoiler alert, my thoughts are they're going to fuck.
When are they not? When are your thoughts not they're going to fuck about anyone?
I never once said that Derek and Olivia were going to fuck.
At no point did you say that George and Izzy were going to have sex.
This was a nice podcast. And
do
it was
you think
a good
Izzy's
run.
Gonna come back?
I was a little bit confused about this because Katherine Heigl is still listed on the credits for the episode.
Interesting. I did not
know. And she wasn't in this episode. I made a line for her once I saw that Katherine Heigl was credited for this episode. I made a line for Izzy. And nothing happened.
Was she credited for all the other episodes that Izzy wasn't in? Did it say guest starring, or did it just come up with the regular ones?
I honestly wasn't even paying attention. I just happened to look at the screen and I saw Katherine Heigl.
Yeah, I mean, I truly was not paying attention to that either, so I could not be of help in this exact moment.
So she's I think she's going to come back. That is a spoiler in itself, potentially. I think she's coming back. But Alex really didn't care too much about her this episode. But Alex was pretty preoccupied.
Good Alex episode, in my opinion.
Good Alex episode. Do we want to talk? Let's see. The beginning of that scene.
Also, we need to acknowledge. Sorry that the whole voiceover this episode was Derek.
Yes. Yeah, I did. I did make a note.
Which
of
makes
that.
Sense.
Because he's the chief.
Well, it's his first day. I like that it was a Derek voiceover, but it wasn't a Derek-centric episode. Like, yes, obviously Derek had a lot going on in this episode, but it wasn't like when we had the Isaac operation episode.
Who?
Isaac, the giant tumor on his back. This was like 5 episodes ago.
Oh, yes. The guy who tried to kill Iron Man.
Yes.
So the beginning of the scene with Bailey and Weber, I like that when she walks in, Weber's like, get out of here. I don't want you to see me like this. And Bailey's like, you've been in an open room all day. Everyone has seen you like this. The windows are open. The door is open. You yelled earlier. Like, everyone has seen this. Calm down. And she basically kind of gives him the, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here, dude. Like, get your shit together. Sign this sheet. Go home. Do your fucking thing.
Yep.
So, but yeah, when she says that they want me to say I'm an alcoholic, and then she's like, well, are you? And I'm like, then he says, I'm not really to, it feels like it's the one thing that I can control. Or drinking feels a little bit like all I have left. The sad thing is that is what, like, he's, shout out to, the guy who plays Weber. Whatever his name is.
James Pickens Jr.
James Pickens Jr. Love that guy. Love that name. Don't really love that guy. I've never
had a dog named Pickens growing up.
I had a dog named James Pickens Jr. Jr.
No, you didn't.
Junior, Jr. There was a difference.
Why? All about you?
It'd just be James Pickens the third, right?
Can I help you with something?
He plays an alcoholic well. Because that
he
is a line an alcoholic
would say.
He's just
a good actor. But,
he's a great actor.
But I like that moment between the two of them because it does feel like that's when she's finding out. Like,
oh.
I think if you watch it again and with that in mind, there is like a blink and you miss it moment of like the flash where, cause she's like maintaining composure cause she wants to support him and she wants to be there for him. And she knows that whatever's going on is hard. And so she's asking it, she's speaking it matter of factly, but she's like, what? And I think if you watch it again, you'll see that.
I need to watch that. That did not even cross my mind because mm-hmm. I think we just talked about this. When was it last week when she's like, I don't know what's going on, but the chief hasn't been himself. He's not using mm-hmm, good judgment. Yeah. That makes sense. Gosh, Kelsey, this is why you are the Grey's Academy professor. That's and I am on a full ride scholarship and don't pay any tuition. A humble student. All right.
I need more water.
Oh, good thing we're coming up on a break soon. Mm-hmm. Anything that we need to talk through with the rest of these, this storyline in particular? I know we've got some patience to talk about.
I was just going to read Derek's voiceover at the end all together as one monologue.
Good. Yes.
So let me find it. Sorry. The part.
While you're finding that, remember everyone set the tone. April comes back. Olivia does not.
Mm-hmm. Megan does.
Izzy does not yet.
Even though she was going to, allegedly, per Meredith at the end of last episode. And then Meredith guilted her. Anyways, Derek says, "Hi, I know it's been a long day and you're all anxious to get home, but I feel like we got off on the wrong foot this morning. I don't expect to win your trust overnight, but I want each of you to know that you have mine, which is why I felt it was important to personally come in here and apologize."
So he's not saying I want to apologize. He is apologizing.
No, he's saying it is important for me to come in here and apologize. I won't do it, but it is important for me to do it. I want to. Then he offers April and Megan the jobs back. "I am neither pro nor anti-merger. From this point on, everyone has a clean slate. I am not focused on the past. I am looking to the future, to the promise that the hospital has to offer. I plan to honor Richard Weber and his legacy, not undo it, which is why I am both humbled and honored to be your new chief of surgery."
My name is Derek Shepherd, and I am sorry.
And I have never been sorry in my entire life.
Except to Richard and Leslie.
Yeah. Anyways.
So
I believe it to be a sincere speech. I believe him to mean all of the things he says.
It could have been amended.
What exactly do you think he's apologizing to the people for?
I think it's the perception. I think this is his redemption speech. He didn't get a real speech the first time because Penis Fishman and Weber ruined his inaugural speech, and this is the redemption for him in this exact moment. So I'm happy for him. I think he's apologizing just for like, guys, I realize that I maybe didn't set the good example today for the people who did see in him and Weber yelling. And I think that it's also going one step further of like, I understand that today sucked. For any reason, for whatever reason today sucked for you, I apologize.
I think it's something along the lines of like,
"And sorry, we're even in the situation
that I just like took this job, and we're like not telling you guys anything about what's going on." So the fact that he does acknowledge Weber in this speech, I think, is important. Where he's like, "I'm not trying to undo what he did." He's like, he's backtracking on his MAGA bullshit. He's like, "I'm not trying to return the hospital to its former glory. I'm trying to move forward and make this hospital as great as it can be."
Very different.
So I think that's kind of my read on it, is like, I'm sorry that I just took this job, but we're like being super secretive about it and not telling anybody anything.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's my opinion on it, but we can get into the rest of the episode in just a moment. Right after everyone's favorite segment.